Glad you're here. You got your Bible. I want to bring something to you. We'll move as quickly as we can out of the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 18. We're going to read just a couple of verses. A story I'm sure that'll be very familiar to you as a Bible student and a Sunday school student. You know, I've heard talk about, you know, we need people who are mentored in the Lord. Well, I'll tell you how to get mentored. You come to Sunday school and you come to church. And you come to Celebrate Recovery and you come to Bible study. And you be around the people of God and the things of God. And then you'll learn. And you'll learn. I'll tell you, I've learned more. I went to Bible college and all that. And I did it. I wanted to better myself. But I tell you what I've learned the most. I've learned the most by being around men of God that love God, that were an example to me and taught me. And I've learned more listening to them and being around them than I'll ever learn in any classroom. But you know, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. And here's a thought that, and I don't know what's cracking and popping. Well, maybe it'll quit. No, it won't. Well, if it don't quit in a minute, I'll change. But I'll tell you a thought that I had, and it came on my heart this week, and the title of it is this, The God Who Hears. And it's just God woke me up, and He gave me that, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I knew it was the Lord speaking to me, and I wrote that down, and I've been studying on it all week long. And I want to read this scripture as I begin to think, I mean, what does God want? Do I need to change, gentlemen?
This is different.
I need to get some of these youth up here to help me. I was telling them earlier I got an apple box was given to me, and they give me that at work. And now, you know, they give me these little, we go to these manager's meetings, they give me this present. I got home, I had no idea what it was. I got my boys in there to tell me. Now, that sounds better. Now, We need a God that hears us. And this came on my heart, and I just began to look at Scripture, and I started praying and seeking the Lord, and this thought came to me. And I want to read this to you. This is 1 Kings chapter 18, and there is a story that precedes this and Scripture that precedes this, and we're going to go through it historically for just a minute. But I want you to look at 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36 and 37, particularly verse number 37. Says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Listen to verse 37. He said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Now, there's a lot that goes with this, but here's what I want you to understand. Elijah, at this very moment, at this very time, he was in a battle for his very life. Now, here's what I want us to see. Obviously, we understand Scripture. We want to know the stories. But the reason we read it is so we can take it and apply it to our own lives so that we can learn from it, and so that when you go out the doors of this church next week, you've got something that will help you with your life, something that will help you deal with the situations of your life. How many of us have ever cried out in a battle for our life and said, hear me, O Lord, hear me? Probably every one of us at some point, and if you haven't, you probably will. Now, I want us to look at historically just a minute. I want you to understand what's going on in the life of Elijah. And I can't read all this scripture for the sake of time, but I'm just going to kind of walk through it these couple of chapters before. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 28 through 30, what you find is Ahab becomes king over Israel. And as Ahab becomes king over Israel, in verse 30 it says this, it says, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Okay? This was a very wicked king. And he's king during the time that Elijah is a prophet. You go down to the 31st to the 34th verse, and not only was he wicked, but we see that Ahab, who was the king of Israel, he marries Jezebel. And then he builds an altar unto Baal, and he builds a grove, which is a pagan shrine for pleasure. Now, we could get into that and study all that, but that's really a Bible study. That's why you need to come to Sunday school, okay? I got to preach, so I got to move, okay? Verse 33 says, "And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." And now, one thing you study and you understand when you read the Word of God, God's not going to be mocked. People aren't going to just do anything that they want and just get by with it, okay? So here's what happens in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. God sends Elijah, and Elijah predicts drought by the word of the Lord. You go to the New Testament and it says this, that Elijah was a man subject to like passions such as you and I, but he prayed that it would not rain, and it rained not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Why? Because God said, go down there and you pray this prayer and it's going to stop raining. Folks, it stopped. And it was so stopped that they began to look everywhere just to find a place so that their animals could eat and not die. But something happened. While Elijah prayed, the Lord sent him down to the brook of Cherith. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2 through 7, says Elijah waits by the brook of Cherith for the word of the Lord. Now here's a whole other message. I'm just going to give you some thoughts. He sends him down there for 3.5 years. Here's what the man of God does. He does something you and I don't like doing. He was waiting. He was just sitting and waiting on God to move. But here's something. I heard a missionary preach this, and he told the story of how he was in a mission field and how dangerous it was, but how God protected him, how God directed him, how God's provided for him. Here's just a nugget from that. He said, you go down there. He said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now here's something about being in your there, about being in the place that God wants you to be. If you're in the place that God wants you to be, that is God's place of provision for you. That's where God's going to provide for you. He's going to provide the things needed in your life. It is God's place of protection for you. Can I tell you that while he was down there by the brook of Cherith, Ahab looked everywhere. He went, he sent messengers, he sent ambassadors. They looked for Elijah, but they could not find him. Because if you're in the place that God wants you to be, that is God's place of protection for you, okay? Now let's look at the next thing. You go down to verse 8 and it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him. Here's what it is also. If you are in your there, that is also God's place of direction for you. That's where God's going to speak to you. Have you ever been in a place to where you say, I just don't like where I'm at right now? I've been there. I've been in places to where I wanted to move. I wanted to leave. I've been in churches before that I said, God, I don't like it here. I don't like the pastor. I don't like the assistant pastor. I don't like what they're doing. I don't like giving my tithe in this church. And God said, be still. Amen. Why? Because that was where God was speaking to me. You see, not everything that you learn is it going to be things you learn that are positive. Sometimes, and I've learned this, sometimes you learn what not to do. Amen. And here he is, he's down here in the place where it's God's place of provision, God's place of protection, it's God's place of direction. But you know, by and by, after a time, that brook that he sat by, because of the drought, the brook ran out. It dried up. God spoke to him, and he sends him to a widow's house. And he goes up to this widow of Zarephath, and when he gets there, he goes in, and she recognizes him as a prophet, and he said, bake me a cake. And she looks at him, and she said, all I've got is just a handful of meal and just a little bit of oil. And we're down to where we have nothing else. I'm going to make just a little cake. It's like one cake of cornbread, and me and my son are going to eat it, and when we eat it, we're going to die, because after this, we're going to starve to death. But you know what the man of God said? He said, you make me that cake. He said, God wants to do something right here. And he told her, if you'll be obedient and follow God, he said, that cruse of oil, he said, every time you turn it up to pour it, there's something going to come out of it. He said, that barrel of meal, every time you're reaching your hand into it, there's going to be just enough. Can I tell you, if we'll get where God wants us, there'll always be just enough. And that's all you need. I want to tell you, I need that myself. I heard a preacher one time. He said his motto was this about living for the Lord. He said, do right and don't worry. That's what he said. And he said, my wife tells me all the time, quit worrying. Right? Sometimes we got to encourage one another. Here's Elijah down here. He's where God wants him. And then thank God. I would tell you if it were me, I'd say thank God, Elijah, for coming by my house. Because when you come by, the Lord came by. Well, he's down here for a period of time. But you know, there comes a time when it's time to get back to work. And God calls him in the 18th chapter. And he says, I want you to get down there. I want you to go back and face Ahab. Now here's a king that's looking for him, a king that is seeking and desiring to find him, really and truly, so that he could destroy him. And he goes down there and there's a little prophet, his name is Obadiah, and he's looking and he's seeking, and the scripture says that this man, Obadiah, he feared God, and Elijah comes to him and he says, go tell Ahab I'm here. And Obadiah says, they've been looking for you everywhere. And I know how you are. You get so caught up in the spirit that you'll be over here 1 minute and over there the next. I'm going to go tell Ahab, and sure enough, when they come looking for you, you're not going to be there, and they're just going to kill me. But Elijah says, nope, I'm going to see him today. You go down a little farther in the story, and sure enough, Elijah standing before Ahab. You know what Ahab does when he sees him? This is the way the world is today. Ahab looks at Elijah and he said, you're the one that's troubling Israel. You know, we're living in a world today that they say the problem with America is the Christians. That's what they say. We're standing in the way. I'm going to have to move. I got to get on with it now. But let me tell you something. That's what the devil wants you to believe now. We're the people of God. We're the children of God. We stand for God. We stand for what's right. It's because the people of a God today that America is standing as strong as she is. It's not because of our military. It's sure not because we get the smartest politicians. Amen. Elijah reproves Ahab. He stands before him. He said, it's not me. This is what he says to him in the 17th and 18th verse. It says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam or Baal. Now we get to this point, and here's Elijah. He's standing before Ahab. Ahab's a king. Ahab's got all this army standing behind him. And I want you to know, all the people are afraid. You know what they're afraid to do? They're afraid to say Merry Christmas. They're afraid to say I'm a Christian. They're afraid to say these are my children, and I'm going to teach them about God. They don't belong to the government. The people are behind them, and they're afraid. And here's what Elijah does. He says, let's just have a contest. You call all the prophets of Baal, you call all the prophets of the groves, we'll just see who's God. There were 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the groves. Now there wasn't anybody but Elijah that was preaching the gospel because everybody else was in a cave hiding. There were a few, but they weren't doing it. And Elijah's standing there and all these people, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the groves, and he says, I tell you what, let's just see who's God. Let's build an altar. You build an altar, and I'll build an altar. And the one who answers by fire, he's going to be God. He said, you get a bullock, I'll get a bullock. They took theirs, and you know he's going to let them go first. He said, you go first because there's more of you. They prepared the bullock. They laid it on the altar, and they began to cry out unto Baal and to their gods until they just cried and cried during the day. Oh, Baal, hear us. I want to tell you something. If you're crying to a dead god, he's never going to hear you. Verse number 26 in chapter number 18. Said, and they, these are the prophets of Baal, they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal on the morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice for any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. You ever seen somebody get radical? And I'm talking about radical in their... For what? I wouldn't want to give my life for something that doesn't really exist. Well, here's Elijah. He's looking at them. He's bold. Remember, there's 450 of them, 400 prophets of the grove. He starts making fun of them. Verse number 27, it says, "And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. And he said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey. Or peradventure he is asleep, and he must be awaked." And he's laughing. It'd be like you and I today. Well, perhaps he's on his cell phone. Perhaps he's gone shopping. Just cry a little bit louder and you'll wake him up. I'll tell you, folks, our God doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't fail. So here's Elijah. He knows who he serves. You know, you go back just a little further when he was over there at the widow of Zarephath's house. When he was there, that little boy that she had, he got sick and he died. And Elijah goes in, and you know, sometimes the battles of our life are nothing but just a test for us to understand that God really does hear us. You know what he did at that time when he was in that woman's house? He cried out to God and he said, "Lord, hear me." And he cried out before the Lord, and the Bible says that that child's soul came unto him again. That means it was dead. Now here's Elijah standing before all these prophets. He's beginning to mock them. But here we are. Now it's Elijah's turn. He says, "Get me 12 stones. One stone for each of the 12 tribes. You make an altar of these 12 stones." And he built it before the Lord, and he told the people. The people are getting attentive now at this point. You know, they're beginning to come over, and they're starting to say, "Is it okay if we say Merry Christmas? Is it okay to put a nativity scene in front of the courthouse in Paulding County? Do we really have to take the Ten Commandments off the wall of the courthouse? Do we really have to bow down and say we're not going to be a vocal and open Christians because we live in a world that's denied our God?" And they're getting behind him. They want to see something. They want to know something's real. Can I tell you today, nobody wants to go to a church where a preacher apologizes every time he gets in the pulpit. They want to hear the word of God. If you don't, go home, go to a club. If not, worship the living God. He took it and he told them. He said, "I want you to get it 4 barrels. And I want you to fill them with water." They dressed that thing. They put that bullock there. He poured that water over that altar. And they began to look at him. He said, "Do it again." 4 more barrels. They poured it over the altar. And he told them, he said, "Do it again." Until there were 12 barrels of water that were poured over the altar. And he's looking. And the Bible says there was a trench round about the altar. And it was so much water that even the trench was filled with the water. Now let me tell you something. I don't care how long you've been serving God. I don't care how long or what you've been through. There comes a time in your life you face the next battle. It's not like the last one. When he cried out, he said, "Hear me, oh God, hear me." He was just like you and me. He was just like you when you get that doctor's report. He's just like you when you get that call and you've done everything in the world that you can to teach them the right way, but they've not gone the right way. He's just like you when something happens at work and you say, "I've done my part. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do." And you cry out and you say, "God, where are you at?" He said, "Hear me, oh God, hear me." He said, "Lord, if you've ever heard me, hear me now. If you ever helped me, hear me now." Well, you know the rest of the story, right? Maybe you don't. I'm going to share it with you real quickly. He cries out to the Lord, and you know the God that answers by fire, the one that can hear us. There was fire came down from heaven, and it licked up that altar, and it licked up that water that was round about that altar in that ditch. And you know what the people did? They jumped back, and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And they got all the prophets of Baal and all the prophets of the groves, and they took them out and they slew them. You know, what we need to do is quit compromising with sin. We don't have to allow it. We don't have to tolerate it. We need to stand up for what's right and let our voices be known. And they begin to worship the Lord. They begin to praise God. I want to give you just a few points on the God who hears. I'll be done in just a minute because we need this. I need this. Okay? Here's the first thing about a God who hears. He's a living God. He's not made out of the, you know, what they would do when they would create an idol, and we laugh at this today, but we do the same thing. We just do it. We're a little bit more educated. They would choose a wood that would not rot, and they would overlay it with gold, and they would give it a name. You know what they were doing? They were saying, I don't mind worshiping God as long as God does what I say. As long as the rules that he have are the rules that I can live with. As long as, you know, his standards line up with my standards. Let me tell you, we're not God. We can't create him. He's a living God. He created us. The first thing we have to do to be obedient and recognize that he is God and we are not, and come humbly and bow before him. He's a living God. Here's something I want you to understand. He's not dead. He's not asleep. He's not on a journey. We don't have to cry louder and wake him up. He's a living God. Number two, he is a powerful God. He's a powerful God. There's a story in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 5. You know, why did the children of Israel get in trouble? It's because they rejected and denied God. That's why they had the evil king. That's why their conditions were in the shape they were, is because they rejected and denied God. Well, there come a time, and you find the story in 1 Samuel chapter 5, where the children of Israel were so rebellious and so against God that God allowed, and I want to use the word allowed, the Ark of the Covenant to be captured. The Ark of the Covenant, which had a cup of manna. It had Aaron's rod, which budded. It had things in it that were sacred to the people of God. It was holy. You could not even touch it with your hand, lest you die. They had it. They captured it because God allowed. Well, they took it into the house of their God that they created. They carved out a stone. His name was Dagon. They set the Ark of the Covenant in there before Dagon. You know what happened when they came the next morning? Dagon was fell down on his face. So they set Dagon up. Well, the next day when they come back, not only was Dagon fell down on his face, but his head was off and the palms of his hands. It says the people didn't look at Dagon anymore. The God we serve, he's a powerful God. He's our Lord and he's our God. Now here's what I want us to understand. I'm going to move on real quickly and I'll be done. Folks, there are only two powers. Two. You know, in the day and time that we live in today, people want to believe there's more than one way to God. There's only one. But I'll tell you where everything else comes from. There's only two powers. Every false religion in the world comes from the same place. I know this is not going to be popular, but this is exactly what I believe. Every false religion in the world comes from the same place that every illegal gang comes from. MS-13 and all the false religions of the world come from the same place. Where's the other power? It's the Antichrist. It's the devil. It's the deceiver that wants to kill and to destroy. See, there's only one Lord. And he is a powerful God. And I want to tell you this, folks. He is a listening God. He hears us. Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. But I want to tell you something, children. He hears you. He hears you. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he, speaking of Jesus, is able also to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's a listening God and he's a caring God. And I think those two go together. And I've mentioned this verse before. It's one of my favorites in Psalms 103, verse 13. It says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now here's the thing about the voice of God and his children. In John chapter number 10, it talks about this. He said, I know my sheep. They know me. Inspiration to sing that song, just a simple little song when we were over there listening to him, says, I know him and he knows me. Now let me tell you, think about this for just a minute. Have you ever heard your kids cry out? And you hear them and you say, you ever been somewhere at somebody's house and you hear a kid scream and the mama say, oh, they're just fighting. Oh, he's all right, he's just not getting his way. But then all of a sudden they cry out again and the mama jumps up, turns the chair open, runs down the hall and grabs them. And you think, what's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. She knows the voice. I want to tell you, there's a time that I've done the same thing. I hear mine cry out, and I know when I need to move. I want to tell you something. When God hears your cry, He knows you. If you're His, He knows when to move, and He'll move on your behalf. He's a God that hears us. He's a patient, loving God. Psalmist wrote in Psalms 40, verse 1 and 2, says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You know, I tell you what, in my life, you say, well, you the preacher. Well, yes. You know what I did last night? I was sitting there studying, and I was praying, and I was seeking the Lord, and I got my little iPad out, and I went over and got some videos. I started watching them, and I just sat there. And I let the Lord minister to me. I let Him speak to my heart. Like I told somebody the other day, I was having a bad day. I said, I just wish I could go home and let my wife rock me. If y'all don't understand that, maybe y'all don't go through what I go through. Maybe you don't ever have times that you need to cry out and say, Lord, hear me. Lord, help me. Lord, put your arm around me. Lord, would you hear my cry? Would you bring me up out of this pit? I heard a man say recently he's battling a drug addiction. I don't understand it. I've never been there, and I would caution you, if you've never experienced that, don't experience it. Young people, don't play with it. I've seen too many people die. But the man cried out, and then he was in trouble, and he said, God, help me. I want to give you this point, and we're going to have a song about the God who hears us. He is the only God. There are no others. The Bible teaches us that there is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus. The Bible teaches us that there's one God and one mediator between God and men. That's the man Christ Jesus. You see, what a powerful name it is. That's why the Bible says that God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every other name. And why Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. When you cry out to Him and you need Him, here's what I want you to know. He is the God who hears you. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning as they get ready with a song. Maybe you need to talk to Him today. I'll tell y'all something, folks. If you hadn't figured it out, I believe in using the altar. I want a bigger one. We're going to figure that out. You say, well, I just went last Sunday. That ain't enough for me. We missed a church service, and I said this, and folks, I like to eat. I said, I'd rather preach than eat when I'm hungry. I'd rather hear good preaching than eat when I'm hungry. See, maybe you need to talk to Him today, but I want to ask you this, and this is the most important one. Maybe you need to talk to Him because you don't know Him as your own. Maybe you're like one of those that was standing in the crowd and you saw the miracles and you saw the power, but you didn't know Him. I ask you if you would to stand to your feet as they play a song here, and the name of the song is I'm Gonna Make It.